This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Jeff Malanoff, and with me, as always, is Mark Souza. Got something to talk about in the world of sports, since NBA is in their lull period after the All-Star Game, since we can't have anything till Thursday. We got some football and baseball to talk about, too, because we're in the franchise tag has been officially opened, so we're going to guess who's going to get those franchise tags from respective teams. We're also going to be talking about Bryce Harper, and if we're even getting close enough to say he's going to sign with the Phillies, and maybe other teams, who knows. And then we'll also talk about the AAF, and maybe they're in financial trouble, question mark. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But first things first, we got the franchise tag has been officially open. There's been rumors and such about who's going to be franchise tagged, and from kickers to the star running backs and so on and so forth. Mark, who do you think is essential in a franchise tag kind of situation when it comes down to the available players for a franchise tag?
A lot of times it's defensive ends. They're normally the types of players, sometimes running backs, maybe a wide receiver here and there. But, I think number one this year on the list of players most likely to get tagged is DeMarcus Lawrence of the Dallas Cowboys. And you know, he just played this last season on the franchise tag, believe it or not. So if they can't work out a long-term deal, I definitely see them tagging him because he's one of the best defensive ends in the NFL. He's had 25 sacks over the last two seasons. That's fourth league-wide. He's hit the quarterback 49 times during that span. That's in the top seven. He's an elite defensive end in a 4-3. He seems like a candidate that will not at all hit free agency. I would be shocked because I think the Cowboys want to do something long term, but if they can't, they'll just tag him.
Yeah, everyone is high on DeMarcus Lawrence. Like you've been saying, he's one of the best in the league. And if he does somehow or some way by the magic, I'm assuming, get into a free agent market, there's going to be a lot of offers with big time money for him. So honestly, if this kind of hurts him in the run of, like, he can get paid big time this season if he doesn't get franchise tagged. So this would you consider this would have hurt him? Like,
the Cowboys are financially just in a precarious position because they have to start paying all these guys.
Yeah. And you don't want to get rid of DeMarcus Lawrence. I think he's worth the money. I think he's worth an extensive contract. He's young.
Yeah, he's only 24 years old.
Like, you can sign him to what? So you can do a 7-year deal with him. That could work, honestly. Yeah, 24, he'll only be 31 by the end of that contract. You can use his entire prime on a contract. And we all know that they have the money. Like, that's not the issue.
That's not the problem. The problem is, yes, they have the money, but they have a lot of players that need to be paid. So
that is the issue.
Like, Amari Cooper is owed $13 million this year, and then he's an unrestricted free agent after this season. So they have to think about that.
Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott, they're talking about an extension with Dak Prescott, but what does that look like? We don't even know. What is his value? Because when you look at it, Dak Prescott's going to make $2 million next year. He made under $800,000 in each of his first 3 years for being a fourth-round pick. So they're going to have to shell out a lot of money to keep Dak Prescott. So you got Amari Cooper. You got Dak Prescott. Oh, and then you got that one guy. What's his name? The guy that, you know, pretty much is the catalyst of that offense.
Gosh.
Ezekiel Elliott, I believe his name is.
Who?
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of him.
Yeah.
Didn't he go to Ohio University?
Yeah, you know how much he's getting paid this year? $7 million. You know what?
Oh, that's gonna like quadruple by the time he has.
Yeah, $7 million.
Next season, he's a free agent.
All these guys are free agents after this season.
So, like, why would you? If you do franchise tag Lawrence, you're gonna have to worry about his contract as well. Someone has to go if he gets franchise tag, correct?
So the Cowboys, I mean, they just have decisions to make. It's about what.
Okay. Well, let me.
What are they gonna do?
Yes. Let me ask you. Obviously, Elliott's one you keep, but between Prescott, Cooper, and Lawrence, who are you willing to give up? Because you can't have all of them.
You can have all of them.
I mean, you're going to like really limit yourself with other positions, though, wouldn't you? Because those guys are going to get massive deals.
I mean, yeah, but you could have all of them. I mean,
but wouldn't you want to think about other parts of your team? Because you're going to be at the limit. You're going to be where the Eagles are right now. And the Eagles are in trouble right now with how much they're in the red.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it all depends on the Cowboys' salary cap situation going into next year. They have $124 million to spend next season.
Yeah.
So they can easily pay all four of those guys. Yeah. Even if they averaged out to $20 million a year for all four of those players, they're still able to spend another $40 million in free agency.
Yeah. So, but
I don't know. I mean,
but the question is, will
they can definitely do it? It's if they want to do it, right?
Yeah, that's the question. Will they? Like, I knew they had a lot of money. It's obviously the Dallas Cowboys and everything, but it's like it doesn't seem like they're actually going to do that. That's just how I see. I don't know.
Jerry Jones is known for taking care of his own players. They spend a lot of money internally. They don't usually splash on big free agents. They usually pay their own guys.
Yeah, but I just like with if they're going to franchise tag DeMarcus Lawrence, I feel like they don't want they don't and are not thinking of a huge deal with him because they would have already done it by now.
Who's that?
DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they just wanted to see him play well another season because he's basically only had two great seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they wanted to see him, you know, show out again.
But two seems like that's enough time, no?
Yeah, no, absolutely. They could. I think they're going to pay him. I mean, I'm not on the side that they're not going to pay him. If I had to guess, they work out a contract before they franchise him.
Mm-hmm.
He probably gets paid, I don't know, $15 million a year for the next 5 years, 4 or 5 years. Seems to be what the rate would be for him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the question is, my biggest question is, what are they going to do with Dak? I mean, I have no idea what his extension looks like, and that's like a quandary in itself. Like, is Dak Prescott going to be the highest paid player in the NFL? Like, is that actually going to happen? It's possible because we know that it's not if you're the best quarterback. It's if you're the next quarterback. That's how people get paid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever the next quarterback is, they get paid. Andrew Luck was highest paid quarterback one time. You know, and that was before he's won, you know, won a lot compared to his counterparts at the time. He got paid. He was getting paid more money than Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, all of them. So it's all about the timing. Matt Stafford was once, I think, the highest paid quarterback for like a hot minute.
I think it was for a good season. Maybe it was even like, I think there was a whole season where he was the highest paid.
Yeah, he was.
And people still were debating, like, was he worth that money? Because obviously he was a talented quarterback. But with the Lions, there wasn't a lot. Like, they had Calvin Johnson, of course, one of the best wide receivers. But other than that, they really had no talent around him to win. So they wasted a lot of money on the quarterback in theory and not giving him the weapons he needed to succeed. But I understand why they paid him. But again, not a quarterback can't do it with no talent around him.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's a necessity to have a quarterback.
Absolutely.
So
but
it's not about, like, is he overpaid or did they pay him too much? It's if you're the next quarterback to get paid, you're going to get paid the most money. Like, that's just like Matt Ryan will be paid, like Stafford will be paid, all of them, you know.
You think Stafford will be paid again?
Probably by someone. If the Lions.
Oh, that's what I was gonna ask. Like, do you think that's why it was my question. The Lions,
I have
do you
no
think,
idea.
No, I honestly
probably
don't think so.
I mean, good quarterbacks don't hit the market, they just don't,
yeah. But
the only reason why Kirk Cousins did is because they franchised him so many times, and it was like, all right, decision made on him. So,
mm-hmm.
I think the next obvious franchise tag player, though, is Jadeveon Clowney.
Oh, yeah. I'll be very surprised if they don't pull that off either, the Texans-wise, because their defense looks pretty well right now, and how good their offense looks with Watson and Hopkins at the helm. This team can make another deep playoff. They can make a deep playoff run next year if they keep these players.
He has been relatively healthy the last 2 years after
which is good.
Being a little nicked up early in his career.
I mean, he was at first like, oh, is this guy a bust because how often he was injured and not playing? Like, he barely played his first season or season and a half roughly. Now he's actually contributing big time on the opposite side of J.J. Watt. So this defensive line for the Texans look pretty great right now with when it comes to the edge rushing. So
yeah,
they can only improve.
And Clowney has 21 tackles for a loss against the run the last two mm-hmm. seasons. That's the most in the NFL. Well,
yeah, and that's a pretty great run defense for a run heavy with so many teams in, like, especially in the AFC South, who have strong running games. Especially the Colts with Marlon Mack, how well he's been playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think he gets hit with the tag. If not a long-term contract, I would say a long-term contract probably more mm-hmm. likely.
Like, honestly, like, if the Colts don't win their division next year, I think it's either them or the Texans. I can see the Texans make a deep playoff run next year. They have the talent for it. They made it this year. I don't see why they can't do it this next year.
Yeah, I mean, they're a young team. They have a lot going for them. Hopkins, Clowney, Deshaun Watson. You know, we saw them lose to the Colts, and the Colts are in their division, so it might be tough for them just because of how good the Colts look. But, yeah, I mean, you got to expect the Texans to be one of the top teams in the AFC for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
And Clowney is a big reason.
Yes, of course. Yes, and everyone was saying, like, when he was the number one overall pick, it was because of that one tackle he had in that, I think it was a bowl game, right? Where he just drilled the running back and took the ball as he was tackling him.
Yes.
Was that a bowl game? It was against Michigan, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. That was basically the play that put him as the number one overall pick, and people were like, oh, I think he's a little overrated, which was understandable. I mean, that one play is all he's known for, granted. But he has become a player where he's like, he's a real hard hitter, and he's a real big contributor to that defense. So he is worth that pick. Mm-hmm. And if he stays healthy, he's going to be more than worth that pick. And he's going to get a big signing contract, a big contract by the time he needs one. Because right. Watt's almost out the door, retirement-wise, I think. I think he only has 1 or 2 years in him.
Yeah, I mean, you think his injuries are that bad?
Man, I don't know. It just seems like it's heading that way, doesn't it?
Well, he's pretty good this year.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but he's been hurt a lot, but
yeah.
Like, I don't think he'll ever be.
He's kind of like a Gronk to me, honestly. He has breakout seasons, but, like, his injuries are still a major concern.
Yeah, for sure. But he had a good bounce back season where Gronk really didn't.
True. Oh, absolutely. And J.J. Watt's that much of a beast, granted. And
Watt's concerning because of his back. He's had a back injury.
Didn't he have back surgery?
I think he might have.
That is a big deal. Honestly, back surgery is no joke.
Next one is Dee Ford. I think he gets tagged for sure if they don't work out a long-term deal. He's one of the best defensive ends in the NFL last year. 13.5 sacks, 29 hits on the quarterback. You got to think that with the Chiefs. And how they're constructed, they'll be winning most games. They'll be playing with the lead. You have a guy like Dee Ford, a great pass rusher. He's a relentless edge rusher that tries to get after the quarterback as much as possible. I think he's going to get franchise tagged, honestly. I don't know if they get worked out, if a long deal gets worked out. I think he gets tagged. Maybe like DeMarcus Lawrence. Maybe the Chiefs want to see him do it again, and then they'll pay him. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they do sign him for a long-term deal, but I think he is a big-time franchise tag contender.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All of these top guys, like, but, I mean, does it hurt to even can talk about them about a contract, and if it doesn't go the way you want it to?
That's how it usually happens.
Yeah.
If they ask for too much money, then the team would be like, nah, but we'll give you the franchise tag.
But doesn't that add, like, a bad sign of when he actually is going to need a contract? Because they can't, like, I guess if you're the Steelers, I guess you can franchise tag your best player forever.
Three times.
Yeah, obviously that was the joke. But granted, yes, I don't think it's going to end very well, is all I'm saying. Because, well, especially with Le'Veon Bell, he's been franchise tagged twice, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And so
Cousins was franchise tagged a couple times.
Yeah. And with
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it creates any animosity. Yeah, I mean, they all want to get paid with a long-term deal, but sometimes maybe you want to play under the franchise tag. Maybe D Ford wants a franchise tag. Maybe he wants to prove – maybe he wants to go out there and get 14 sacks again this year and then get paid more because he did it again rather than getting paid less because he did it once and then the Chiefs were scared that he might not be able to be as good from now on. But now they're more confident because he has two seasons where he's been great on the edge. So I don't know. Maybe some players want the franchise tag for that year because they're thinking aggressively. They're thinking about the next contract down the road.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. But it's just a tricky situation with the franchise tag because players can take it one or the other way. Like, they don't want to pay them in theory, or it's one of those things in where they want to work out a contract, but think about it later. And just it's a touchy area. It just depends on how the player reacts to it.
Yeah, Landon Collins on the Giants is a free agent. He could be a possible franchise tag. That one's tricky to me because he's a really good player. But the Giants are always feeling like they're in a state of flux. Like, I don't really know if they're wanting to give him a big contract or slap the tag on him for a safety. I would think they would want to keep him around as he's a playmaker. He's really good. He's a quarterback of that defense, but I'm not sure. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not really sure either. There's a lot of questions this offseason, obviously, and that's one of the big ones right there.
Mm-hmm. CJ Mosley is another one. Baltimore Ravens linebacker.
I've always liked him, to be honest. I think he's a great talent. So
he's a good player. He's a very consistent player.
And you don't really get a lot of consistency in the NFL in that position, granted. So honestly, I would think they would possibly do it, but I'm not sure.
The problem is for him is that he doesn't really make a lot of plays. He's a good player. He's a constant player. He's very solid, and he started 77 out of 80 professional games. He has the fifth most tackles in the NFL since he's been in the league,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't make any plays. Like last season, for example, one interception, no forced fumbles, a half a sack, and six tackles for a loss. I mean,
how many total tackles, though?
I don't know how many total tackles, but that's not an issue. That's his strength. Mm-hmm. He has 574 total tackles in his last five NFL seasons. So he's a tackle machine, but the problem is that you don't pay tackle machines. You pay linebackers to make plays, right? Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to be a great linebacker to tackle a lot. Usually you're just in the right position and you're doing something well, but it's not necessarily like a skill, right, that you're mm-hmm. like targeting, I guess. At least not paying a premium rate for, if that makes sense. So I don't know if he gets tagged by the Ravens. I think what's likely to happen is they work out a long-term deal with CJ Mosley. He realizes that he's a good player, not a great player, and he gets a reasonable contract. But if he prices himself out, maybe the Ravens just straight up let him walk.
I think he'll be very touted when it comes to the free agent market. I think he'll be looked at a lot by multiple teams. So it might.
But what if he wants to get paid as one of the top linebackers in the NFL?
Then he might.
He's 27 years old. This is his payday year. Mm-hmm. So
I think if he wants that, he's gonna have to talk to teams with money to burn, which is either the Jets or the Colts, who are gonna be willing to give him an opportunity like that with so much money in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see other teams besides those two trying to even risk that. The only reason I bring up them is because obviously they have money to burn, and there's going to be obviously a lot to go with. So
there is also the point that you can make that the Ravens are always consistently a very good defensive team, and they like to keep their defensive players together. So maybe Mosley will stay. Terrell Suggs is also a free agent, and I know that he's not going to get franchise tagged, but he's another like veteran player on a really good defense that they'll probably want to keep.
That one's going to be hard to really tell. They might just give him like a 1 year deal, just on a, like a certain. I don't know how much money, maybe max on the 1 year. I'm not sure what they were going to do. This is a touchy situation because you don't want to lose both of them, because then there's going to be a hole in your defense. So you might have to, you're obviously going to have to franchise one, but what's going to happen?
I don't think they're going to franchise either one of these guys.
Really?
If they do, that's a big overpay, a huge overpay. I mean,
who else is there to franchise tag?
They don't have to franchise tag anybody, but for the Ravens, I would be shocked if they franchise tagged Suggs for sure. Mosley a little less shocked, but man, that would be such a tough pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm. It's just like losing.
I
mean,
I said, he's a good player, but he's not a great player.
I understand that. I'm just saying it's gonna, if you lose both of them, that's gonna put a hole in your defense. No.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like,
yeah, I mean, you put a hole in your defense, but that doesn't mean you can't replace them. They're not. Neither one of these guys is good enough for they're irreplaceable. I would say that Suggs is more of a team leader, so he might be a little bit more irreplaceable. But he's older though. Like, we already know that he's getting up there in age. I mean, they thought he was probably gonna retire, you know, years ago, to be honest with you. But yeah, Mosley, like, oof.
Does he need to retire in your mind?
Sucks. No, he's still a good player. I mean, he's not a great player, but he's still productive.
Okay. I'm just curious what you thought, your opinion on that, because there you could go either way with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much to go on.
Another linebacker for the Ravens is Za'Darius Smith, and he's also in a free agent year. He had 8.5 sacks, 25 quarterback hits. He is a versatile linebacker, though, as he plays outside linebacker, he plays defensive end. Sometimes they move him inside to rush the passer. He's probably their most versatile defender. So I don't know what they plan on doing with him. I could see him walking, but man, that's another player, another defensive player the Ravens have to make a big decision on.
There's a lot. This is a very touchy situation, definitely, when it comes down to your franchise tag and who to do it with and who are you going to try to sign to a deal, because this is going to affect your free agency when it comes down to it.
And I think the one that's most intriguing is Nick Foles. Obviously, the Eagles are not going to keep him, but they are likely franchise tagging him to trade him to some other team, maybe get some value out of him. I don't know where he lands, but them franchising him is interesting because it will force them to make some big moves to get underneath the salary cap ceiling. So,
yeah, well, they're deep in the red at the moment, if last time I checked.
Well, they're about to get a lot deeper, because when you are franchise tagged, you are making the average of the top five players at your position. So yeah. Nick Foles will be paid like $30 million. For a backup quarterback.
I was about to say, he's going to be a backup in this mix.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're going to get for him, but that is probably the franchise tag that a lot of people are looking at, waiting on. I expect that to happen very quickly, because I don't think they let him walk for free.
Okay, so obviously he's going to be a big trade market this offseason. Who are you thinking is going to try to get him? Like, what are you offering?
I think the Redskins will try and get him, but I don't think it'll work out because they're in the same division.
That's no way. There's no way they're giving him up in the same division. But they know what he's capable of.
They might not have a choice, man. Like, you can say no way, but how many teams can trade for Nick Foles? Honestly, how many?
Miami, Jacksonville.
But we know Miami ain't going to do it. Like, they're rebuilding. Like, Miami's not trying to pay a 31-year-old quarterback.
I'm just throwing every quarterback
Miami
need. Jacksonville. Well, I would have put
Denver.
Exactly what I was about to say. I would have put Denver in this, but they already got Flacco.
The Giants.
Possibly. You can also,
because they have a need. I mean, they just
do. I was just thinking, any other AFC teams?
Maybe the Bengals if they decide to get rid of Dalton.
If Foles is available, maybe that's the best
There's
thing
really
for
no
them.
One else though. Like, that's the thing. The market is so limited that. What if the best offer by far is from a divisional rival?
I mean, it is possible, but it's got to be something very attractive for you to give him up.
What do you do? What if the best offer is from a divisional rival? Do you not trade him there, or do you simply take a worse offer because you want to see him go play somewhere else? It's going to be interesting how this unfolds, because this is not a big – there's not a million teams looking for a quarterback. And teams like Jacksonville and the Giants, they can draft a quarterback.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely can. And they have a high draft pick to do it.
I don't see Miami doing it, because I think Miami is really trying to draft a young quarterback, not this year but next year. You know, I think that's their plan, is to position themselves this year where they – draft and develop some young players and then go get their quarterback. So who knows? Nick Foles is interesting. We need to take a break, though.
Yes. When we come back, we'll be talking about the AAF, because there's some financial concerns over there. We'll get right on that when we return.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back, everyone, in the GSMC Sports Podcast. Last time we left off, we were talking about the franchise tagging, because that window is officially open. So hopefully we'll get news updates as we progress through the show. But regardless, we're moving on to the AAF, because they have a new owner. Is that the right word for it? Or new stock? How is this working out?
I'm going to let you try and work this one out.
This one's tough, because what I've read the Carolina Hurricanes owner of the NHL owner has paid for a share in the team, a share in the organization, a share in the league for $250 million or something of that nature.
He is the new chairman of the AAF.
Okay. So he did buy this. He did buy the organization.
$250 million investment into the league.
So the payment for the league is unknown, but his investment is $250 million.
Sounds like the league is getting a financial bailout, is what it sounds like. And it's Carolina Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon.
Yeah. And I didn't realize they were in that dire straits so early.
Well, players haven't got paid for week one.
That's a problem.
So despite the really good television ratings so far, despite how much, I guess, positive attention the league has gained, they're still having issues financially speaking, and now it looks like they have been bailed out by, again, Carolina Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon. The AAF, they've been, I guess, adamant that they're not getting bailed out, but...
Well, it's like showing a weakness. You can't really admit that. I think it's more of a pride thing. They're not admitting that more than anything. Mm-hmm. So it's not like as in, oh, no. It's more the long lines of like, nuh-uh, you know, that kind of like childish kind of, no, we're fine.
We're actually still waiting on the ratings for week two. I don't know what that looks like. I'm expecting it to be smaller than week one.
Oh, I'm expecting that also. But it was like 2.9 million on Saturday alone. So if I had to guess, it'd probably be around 3 to 4 total. Still,
it is interesting, because the Hurricanes in the NHL they've struggled with attendance and have, you know, been always a top topic of relocation.
They actually won the Stanley Cup in 2007, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Or was it 2008?
They've been subject to relocation rumors for pretty much the last 15 years or so.
Oh, yeah. As soon as they got there, it was always like, why are you going to Carolina? Like, that, as soon as they became the franchise there, it was a question mark. So, mm-hmm. It's always been a concern about this team and if they're going to move or not. Because it's just like how it's just this organization. And like I said, they've won a Stanley Cup before. 2005, 2006. The 2005-06 season, they won a Stanley Cup, believe it or not. And so it has. They have had somewhat of a success. But granted, it's been over 10 years since they won a Stanley Cup. But they are 1 point behind in their own division to take a playoff spot in the division. So they're not completely out of the playoffs at the moment. They have actually a pretty good opportunity to. But again, when you're 1 point behind and there's multiple guys in the same point area, I guess you can say, it's going to be a tight squeeze. So maybe this is best for the Carolina Hurricanes owner to think about something else at the time. Little stressful moments in Carolina at the moment. So maybe the AAF is his bailout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will see what happens with the league. I think, obviously, it's good that there's some money being pumped into the league. I mean, it seems like it's a fun league and that's doing well, but obviously money talks, right? So
mm-hmm.
What a disaster that would have been if they would have had to seize operations during the season.
In week two. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would have been a major disaster, all things considered, because of the fact, like, this has been getting a lot of, a lot of positive reviews, basically, from fans and mm-hmm. just everyone watching it. There's not really been a lot of complaints about it. Everyone's been really, like, enjoying it. It's been a very pretty fun experience. So it's not like it's like the XFL 2001 where everyone got bored of it after the first week because they realized the talent was terrible. There's actually good talent in this league, and a lot of guys have potential to get signed by NFL teams by the end of the season. I truly believe that. So having a guy back up, put $250 million into this league is a big help, and hopefully this can help. This can give everyone pay throughout the entire season because it's only a 10-week season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's move on to Bryce Harper. We know that he is still unsigned. However, it sounds like he is getting closer and closer to that deal that will probably make him the highest paid.
Fight a nickel for every time we said that.
Would he be the highest paid American athlete of all time in terms of contract?
Probably.
At least like a major sport.
Yeah, but fight a nickel for every time we've been saying this, I would have a lot of nickels. I would be rich.
Yes. So USA Today's Bob Nightingale is saying that Harper will sign 10 years, $300 million for the Phillies.
No, supposedly.
A little bit more than 10 years, $300 million, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we will find out. Also, sounds like Machado might be signing soon. Some people say that the Padres are now involved with Manny Machado. Padres look like they're trying to get involved with Harper and Machado, one of the two. They've been in on both of them.
I'm not going to lie. I don't think he's going to get. They're not going to get out of
him. The San Diego Union Tribune is reporting that the Padres offered Machado 8 years and $250 million.
Wait, 200 or 100?
$250 million, an 8-year contract for Manny Machado.
I don't think he's going to take that because if he can get 300 or
300. Well, it sounds like that's by far the biggest offer he's gotten sent this
do you think, offseason. Do you think that's pretty low for what he's expecting?
We've only seen two offers, this one and the White Sox offer of $180 million. So if those are the two that we have, this one's considerably more.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't know how many there really are, too. This could be just the mm-hmm. two offers we've heard of. So there could be more than we actually know. But for the two prices I've heard, it seems like he's being pretty disappointed by the outcome of these deals.
I also think a lot of these teams are just not in play for both of them. Like, I think the market was overstated. Like, we were hearing that half the league would try and be getting one of these players, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that it's really just down to four or five teams that are trying to pay that much money for these guys.
Well, who are those teams?
Oh, White Sox for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And the Phillies.
The Padres for sure. And then I think there's a couple teams that are going for one or the other. Like, I do think the Giants are interested in Harper, but I don't think they're going to pay him anywhere near what he's looking for. I think the Yankees were interested in Machado, but again,
they already have a massive contract of Stanton to look at. And like when Judge contract, when he needs a contract extension, they're going to give him a ton. So they're going to have to pay a ton when it comes down to that point. So all things considered, I don't see the Yankees getting these guys. Like, they obviously were going to try, no doubt about it. But when they got Stanton, I knew like getting Harper was going to be the biggest challenge and probably not going to happen based off of the fact they just will have they'll have two guys on $300 million contracts roughly, so that's almost over half $1 billion on two guys alone.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a lot of money to risk for two guys.
Well, it depends who you are, right?
Absolutely. But, not taking anything away from how good the players are, but it's also a business, unfortunately. So you got to look at it at that turn point as well.
Absolutely. So we heard yesterday that San Francisco Giants manager Bruce Bochy, he will retire at the end of the 2019 season. He has announced that this will be his last go. You know, he's a guy who's been super successful. We also know that he's a manager who's had some health issues. I mean, he's, you know, missed games here and there. He's had procedures done, I think, on his heart. So he's had some health issues as he ages and stuff like that. Sure. Is he? Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer, but do you think 100%. He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer? Or?
You know,
probably not, right? No one is.
It is hard to do it, but I can see him doing it based off three world championships and the teams he had. There weren't like super teams by any means.
To the World Series with the Padres once, right?
Yes, he did. And but he did get swept in that, so that's going to be a little asterisk there. But with the team that he had with the three World Series with the Giants, there was not like it wasn't no super team by any means. So that might put him a little over the top just based off he had to manage better than most ever had to based off the fact he had less talent than a lot of other World Series teams.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just how I see it, at least.
Yep. Obviously he's had a great career. 2010, 2012, 2014. Would you call the Giants a dynasty?
3 out of 5, it's safe to say.
Some people don't because they didn't make the playoffs in the 2 years that they didn't win.
Yeah, I still think it's a dynasty. Like, I think it's like just
that's
based
the
on
argument.
I understand that
2011, 2013.
Yeah,
didn't make the
but
playoffs.
I understand that argument. But isn't it just about championships and not just contending? It's just about the championships you win.
Well, some people consider that we'll say a dynasty, they have to be like really good even in the years that they don't win. Like, they do have to have a history of sustained success. I
kind of get that, but it doesn't always have to be like that.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, I think we should probably go to a break.
Sure. When we come back, we'll talk about anything else we need to discuss in the world of sports, and we'll be right on that when we return.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome out of the GSMC Sports Con podcast, finishing up the day. Just finished up a little baseball stuff, but I want to talk about hockey real quick because there was actually an extremely There was an extremely exciting game between the last place Blackhawks and the last place Senators, or the bottom of the barrel in their leagues, in their divisions, all things considered. The Blackhawks are 7th in the Central Division in the West, and the Eastern Division, the Senators are 8th. So it's between Ottawa and Chicago. They had 9 goals in the first period alone in their game yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That is
That's a lot.
Absurd amount. Like, holy...
What was the score?
The final score was 8-7.
So, who won?
I believe the Blackhawks did win this game.
So they went for two, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
They went for two, they got the two, and they won 8-7.
You had to put in football terms, didn't you?
I mean, that's pretty high score.
Extremely high score. But, like, especially with the two teams that have losing records at the moment, really kind of shows why they're in the places they're in. Obviously, there was a huge highlight of goals scored, but I think bottom line is what their weakness is their defense. Because Ottawa had 38 shots on goal, as well as Chicago having 42. I mean, that's that is too many to be able to get shot on and score that many goals. When you score 15 goals total, obviously defense is not a factor, and goalie is also a major concern. Their goalies are also a major concern with both teams. Of course, the Blackhawks have won multiple Stanley Cups this past decade, and kind of like the Giants in one way or another, but they made playoffs without those championships as well. And then Ottawa, I believe it was 2 years ago against the Penguins, they were in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals in overtime, one goal, and they're in the finals, and they lost at home to the Penguins. So maybe it was away to the Penguins. I don't remember if it was either home or away for the Senators, but I just remember they were one goal away from a Stanley Cup Finals appearance. So these two teams were contenders not too long ago. So them being in the bottom of the division really just shows how fast an NHL year can turn around every team, because Calgary last year was obviously one of the not the most respected, I want to say, just not a contender in anyone's mind. Now they're first in the Pacific, which is arguably the toughest division. Mm-hmm. And the Islanders, of course, have been a laughing stock for a couple of years just based off management and just bad luck. And so now they're up there in their division themselves. So there's just a lot of new faces up on top of the division markets. And then there's some old faces like the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have 94 points. And the second highest team with the most points is Calgary, ironically, with 79 points. That's how far Tampa Bay is ahead of everybody else. So Tampa Bay is obviously the favorite going into the playoffs this year. But it's not officially, the season isn't officially over yet. There's still plenty of games to be played. But right now, the Lightning look like no one can top them. They're like the Warriors right now when it comes to the regular season. But just seeing the Islanders and the Calgary Flames and even the Winnipeg Jets on top of their own divisions, respectively, because with the Jets atop of the Central, the Predators were the President's Trophy winner last year, and that was like the one with the most points. For those who don't know, that's like the best. It's awarded to the best team in hockey in the regular season. So being above the President's Trophy winner is always an accomplishment. And usually in the Central, like, it's usually Blackhawks and someone like maybe the Stars or even the Wild. The Wild were in the playoffs too a couple of years in a row. But now the Blues have taken over that last playoff spot. Like, and they made it to the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago, 3 years ago when they lost to the Sharks. So there's a lot of some new faces, some old faces, but it's really interesting to look at all these playoff contending teams and who's really going to come out on top. The Lightning do have the 94 points, granted, but there are so many other teams that can take that spot from them, because we've seen this happen before. President's Trophy winners have lost in the first round, second round, so on and so forth. So it's not guaranteed anything, but I'm really looking forward to the NHL playoffs. And if you don't watch hockey, still watch the NHL playoffs. It's one of the most entertaining things in sports, without question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, I got a little carried away there.
Good. Antonio Brown was talking on Instagram last night.
What? He talks on social media? No. He was on I never even seen him on social media.
Good video, but I'll just go ahead and read this quote. Well, it's a long, very long quote, so hang with me here. He says, quote, "If any NFL teams out there watching, hit my phone, hit my phone. If one of them teams out there were the camaraderie bad, the energy bad, the player haters, I don't want to play there. I don't want to go there. I don't want to waste no time, you heard? If your squad out there want to win and your squad want a hungry wide receiver who's the best in the world, someone hit my phone. Tell them I ain't doing no unguarantees. I ain't even going to play myself no more for this NFL, you heard? I think I done everything. What y'all think? What left for me to do? Win a Super Bowl? Got to be the right team for that, right? If your team got guaranteed money, tell them call me. AB can't do no more unguarantees. If your team got guaranteed money, they want to get to know me and work with me, tell them call me. I ain't got no time to waste. I got five kids, you heard? Call me Mr. Big Chest. Big Chest from now on. Big Chest Brown from now on. Don't even call me AB. Just call me Big Chest. Yeah, Mr. Big Chest. Tell your team I'm maxing out. And if they want me, tell them to be maxing out, you heard.
I'm sorry, what? Was that English? Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
That's amazing. Mr.
Big Chest.
That wasn't close to like a functioning sentence. Like, I love Antonio Brown. I think he's very entertaining, but that was not English.
Are you going to be calling him Mr. Big Chest from now on?
No, absolutely not. I will be calling him Antonio Brown because that's what his mama named him, and I'm going to call him what his mama named him.
It sounds like Odell Beckham Jr. might be on the trade block.
What is he, Mr. Pex?
Who is more valuable, Odell or Antonio Brown?
See, that's a tough one, but Odell Beckham Jr. does have the age advantage in this. He's younger. But if you had to put, like, the best right now out of the two, I think Antonio Brown is still better. But
I just want to know when Antonio Brown's going to start doing sit-ups in his front yard.
So he's just gonna totally just go full TO on this.
I mean, that's what it reminds
me. Well, he has to walk on the sideline and yell at his quarterback throughout the entire game. Yeah. And also eat
so
popcorn.
Antonio Brown just tweeted a picture of him and Art Rooney.
Yes, they kind of cleared the air.
Had a great meeting with Rooney today. We discussed a lot of things and we cleared the air. We both agreed that it's time to move on, but I'll always have appreciation and gratitude towards the Rooney family and the Stewards organization. So it sounds like they're heading for divorce.
Yeah, it sounds like they both said it's time to move on. So it seems like it's a foregone conclusion. He's got to be traded.
Yeah.
Even with the money they're going to lose on it, I think this just needs to happen for both the organization and Antonio Brown.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what they have in the works.
Maybe they're going to trade him to... Well, obviously, people were like, oh, the Browns. I'm like, there was no way he's going to the Browns. I mean, it would work because his last name is Brown, granted, but it's not going to happen because they're in the same division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, man. Who knows what's going to happen. I'd like to see Mr. Rooney's statement about what happened today.
I don't think we're going to hear that for a good bit. But
Tony Romo is playing in the Byron Nelson Open.
Nice.
Pro event.
Is it the Byron Romo event?
The Byron Nelson Open is played at the golf course that's owned by the Carolina Hurricanes owner.
God, he's all over the place in the news now, ain't he?
Yep. Marquise Brown may be the number one wide receiver in this year's draft. Will miss the combine and the pro day. He underwent a Liz Frank surgery operation. What do you think about that?
Just hope for the best.
A bad injury.
Yeah, I just hope for the best for him.
Liz Frank is a injury that has hurt a lot of careers before, especially for wide receivers. Foot injury. I know that's one Sammy Watkins had, amongst others, but interesting how far that will make him slip in the draft now that he has already undergone one-foot surgery. And those kind of things tend to come back on wide receivers.
Yeah, but I just hope for a full recovery and then he can benefit in the NFL. I mean, that's all you can hope for.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's our show for today.
Thank you so much for joining us, everybody, and please tune us in tomorrow as we will
or
be...
Or tune us out, you know, whatever.
I already get tuned out in my personal life. I don't need to tune out here, too.
So then you're used to it.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes the disappointment less, you know?
Yes. Easier. Always expect disappointment. No, I'm not even going to say that. If you always expect disappointment, you can never be disappointed. Don't think about it like that. Be positive in your life. Darn it. Anyways, as always, I'm Jeff Malinoff, and that's Mark Souza. We'll see you next time. Have a good day, everybody.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.